And I ask an interest in your prayers as I stand before you this morning. Good morning. It's a good time. It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. And I, be honest with you, my heart has been longing to see you. I think Papa's cows have been lonesome to see me. I said that to you before, that when I'd get lonesome from my grandpa's house, I'd tell my daddy and mama, I said, I think Papa's cows are getting lonesome to see me. See, when I'd go see Papa, we got to go see the cows. It wasn't really the cows that I was missing. It was my grandpa I was missing. Now, I've been missing y'all. But the Lord's been blessing the services that I've been in, and certainly feel like God has made a dwelling and been with me on the road and brought me back to you once again. And I see he's brought you back here once again. So we're thankful for that. A lot of things to be thankful for this morning. My Aunt Sandra's here this morning. We got a good report. I've been on the other end of that. I'm very thankful that we can rejoice in that this morning. You know, it's funny that I mentioned cows this morning, because as odd as it sounds, that's kind of what I got on my mind, is cows. And hopefully we won't take too long of a road to get there this morning. You know, I was this past week, you know, my son John is different than my other two. I guess that last one does that sometimes. You know, my son Caleb and my daughter Ella, all I needed was my bark. That's all I needed to get them to straighten up. I just say once, you know, just a little stern, Ella and Caleb will straighten up. And my son John, that don't scare him. It takes a little more than a bark. It takes a little bit of bite, too. You know, I think I could count on my hands. I don't even need a hand to count the times I've threatened or spanked my daughter Ella and Caleb. But, you know, I've had to whoop John recently, and that's a new experience for me. You know, John, you know, he'll do something, and I'll have told him not to do it. And that's the very thing he's going to do. He's going to go do it. You know, the other morning, he's got to where he's a tough kid. He likes to wrestle. He likes to cut loose. He just wails on his brother Caleb. And Caleb's a lot like my brother. He'll just sit there and take it. And, you know, I can always hear from the kitchen, wherever I'm at, when John is not doing what I've told him to do. See, before I ever get into where they're at, I already know that he's not listening to Daddy. And when I walk around in there, I see that he hadn't listened to Daddy. And then a lot of times when I walk in there, he'll be doing the very thing I told him not to. I've heard him do it, and then I've caught him in the act, too. And then I'll say, John, if you don't stop doing that, Daddy's going to whoop you. I don't want to whoop you, but that's my responsibility. That's what I'm going to do, because you haven't listened to my commandment. So when you don't listen to my commandment, well, then Daddy's going to have to take a step further. And you know what? Caleb and Ella, they don't want me to whoop their brother John. You know, the one time, the other week, this week, that John just wouldn't listen. He just wouldn't do. And you know, I'll admit, I got mad as a father. I probably let the little bit of anger get the best of me. And I whooped him. I didn't whoop him too hard, but I whooped him. And, you know, Ellen and Caleb's not used to seeing that. They hadn't do it. You know what? Now, John didn't do what I told him to, and he hadn't done what I told him to. I heard he wasn't doing what I told him to. And then when I reacted the way I did, you know what? Everybody was upset at Daddy. You ever had that experience? Was it Daddy's fault? No, I was trying to do my responsibility. It wasn't Daddy's fault. Nobody enjoys. The person getting whooped don't enjoy it, and the people watching it don't enjoy it. And I sat down with John, and I sat him on my knee after I whooped him. And I said, now, John, do you think Daddy liked whooping you? And John, you know, he's a smart kid, too. And I was tears in my eyes. And he said, no, Daddy, I don't think you like whooping me. And I said, son, wouldn't it have been easier to just do what Daddy told you to do? And he said, yeah, Daddy, it would have been easier. I'm amazed at how often the Scriptures are revealed in the relationships we have. You know, you can understand how a father loves a child. You can stand, I believe, the truth of how God loves His children and how He deals with them. But brother, I tell you this morning, it's just easier if we'll do what God told us to do. The thoughts I have on my mind come from 1 Samuel this morning. If we turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15, we're going to find that Saul has been commanded to do some things. He just returned from the battle of the Amalekites, and God told him to wipe them out. Everything they had, their dwellings, their cattle, their sheep, the women, the children, the kings, to wipe them out, utterly destroy them is what this book says. That was his commandment. Saul knew that was the commandment. Yet here in chapter 15, we're going to see Samuel comes to Saul. If we turn, we'll start in verse 12. And it says, and when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul. Samuel came to meet Saul. And Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Saul's telling Samuel, I've done what the Lord told me to. He got real happy, didn't he? I've done it all. You know, you can tell real fast whether somebody's done what the Lord has told them to do. Sometimes you can hear it. Just like I heard old John, I knew he was doing wrong before I got there. Well, sometimes you can hear it before you ever get there by what you hear. Samuel said, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? See, Samuel knew what the commandment was. Saul knew what the commandment was. Saul is saying, I've done what God told me to do. But then Samuel says, I can hear that you haven't. By the lowing of the cows and the bleating of the sheep, I can tell that everything was not utterly destroyed. See, he could hear it before he ever saw the cow or the sheep. He heard something had been done wrong. He could hear that the commandment of the Lord wasn't followed. And it says, and Samuel said, what meaneth then the bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, you know, a lot of times when we know we hadn't done right, we're real quick to come up with excuses. Real quick. What does Saul say? He says, and Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. We did everything, but we kept the best for the Lord. You ever notice how that is sometimes? When we're not going to do what God told us to, we start bargaining with the Lord. We start bargaining with Him, don't we? Well, Lord, I'm going to do this. But since I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this to make it up to you. I didn't do what you told me to, but hey, I brought the best this whole world had. And I brought it back over here to God's house. And I'm going to give it unto you. What does Samuel say to Saul? And Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on, tell me what the Lord said, Samuel. And Samuel said, when thou trust little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? God had put you in charge of His country, His chosen. Have you thought so little of the authority and the responsibility that I've given you, Saul? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, and He repeats the commandment God gave to him, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, it wasn't me, but the people took it. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. This is where you go back over in the New Testament and you find where the Lord says it's better to be obedient than to give sacrifice. That's what Samuel saying here to Saul. It's better. Isn't it easier, Saul, to just be obedient and do what God has told you to do? That's what God desires. Obedience, not sacrifice. You're not going to bargain with God. You're either going to do what He told you to or you're not. There's no in between. There's no in between. But I tell you, sometimes we hear those voices in our heads, the only where we're going to say, oh, I'm going to go do this. But if I do this, Lord, it's like I'm going to go do this to make up for it, you know. You know, when we hear voices like that in our head, questions like that in our head, we need to hear the mooing of the cattle. You know, for pretty much the whole time while we were recovering from the hurricane down there, and we didn't have power, and we were on generator power, we didn't have internet service, we didn't have anything like that, we didn't have our TV service and all of that, there was one DVD my son John loved that we would listen to over and over again, and it's that movie called Home. It's about a little alien, and it's a cute little movie, but there's a joke in that movie that the little alien tells, or anyway, that that John remembered. And the joke goes like this. He says, it's a knock-knock joke, and he goes, knock-knock. He goes, who's there? And it says, the interrupting cow. And before you can say the interrupting cow, who, you say, moo. So when you say the interrupting, moo. I tell you what, when we hear questions like this, we need to say moo. That's not, you're not going to bargain with God. When He calls and says for obedience, that's what He means. When you hear those little voices where it says, oh, you don't really have to do that. God didn't really mean that. Saul, God didn't really mean you had to kill everything. You could still keep some of the sheep. That's not what He said, was it? He said, consume and destroy everything utterly, to the uttermost, everything. That was the commandment of God. Saul thought he was going to bargain with God. I tell you what, child of God, we need to be aware of the voices and the things we're listening to sometimes. And when we hear things that are contrary to God's word, there needs to be something that goes off in our head, a little radar that says, move. No, that's not right. We don't need to listen to those voices. Because I tell you, child of God, when we don't do what God has commanded us to do, I tell you what, there's a punishment for that. Daddy's going to come down on you. Daddy, you're going to get a whooping. Isn't it just easier? Wouldn't it have just been easier for Saul if he'd have just done what God had commanded him to do? See, when we do what God commands us to do, we don't have to jump around and make all these extra promises and extra. If we're just obedient, it makes a straight line. It's just simpler. It's just easier, isn't it? It's just easier, isn't it? And I tell you what, when we don't do what God has commanded us to do, it affects everyone around us too. You think about Saul here. Saul's trying to blame it on the people here. And the people were probably at fault too. But who did God appoint over this people to lead them? What a great responsibility. Almost a very serious responsibility. Those that God puts in charge of His people have. Those that He sets behind these pulpits to try to lead God's people. I tell you what, I want somebody standing here that takes this word serious, that dives into it, that knows it forwards and backwards. And when I have a question, I can go to Him and He can answer me. He's not going to go back and forth. Well, God didn't really say this. God didn't really say that. No, this is what saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. This is it. That's the kind of man I want standing behind this pulpit. That's the kind of minister I want to be. I tell you, child of God, when God commands, there's no wiggle room. He's commanded us to do some things. He set forth way to live. He set forth the way we do business in the church. He set forth how we're supposed to treat one another. And I tell you, there's no wiggle room. Let me tell you what happened. When we just do a little bit of wiggle. When we just do a little bit of compromise. See what Saul did? Saul here, God gave the commandment. It was set forth outright. There was no question about what God said do. But Saul listened to some other little voices. He let some other things affect him. And when Saul didn't do what Saul was supposed to do, what happened to the nation of Israel? What happened to Saul? The kingship was removed from him. The children of Israel got punished. Wouldn't it have just been easier to do what God commanded us to do? If we'd have just heard that little moo when we heard that little voice saying to compromise. This Bible tells me a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. See, I know something about that. So I bake bread, and a lot of you, I'm not going to say women, I'm going to say all of us probably have baked bread at one more time. I don't want to exclude anybody if you bake bread. You know, you can put a lot of yeast in bread, and it'll really leaven. But what does it take? It just takes a little bit. It really just takes a little bit to make bread. It'll rise the whole thing. That's what error does. A little error will turn into big error. A little error turn into big error. And the men we sit behind this pulpit are responsible for that. Let me read another place here, and I'll close here. If we go to Exodus 32, we're going to find another place that the children of Israel got in trouble with some cows. You know, some people ain't got no business being in the cow business. I think the children of Israel should have shut it down. They shouldn't have messed with no cows. Man, cows just keep getting them in trouble. If we go to Exodus 32, we're going to find where Moses was coming off, was being given the Ten Commandments. Now we're going to find here in Exodus 32 where Moses has been on the mount for a little while. He's been communing with God. God's been giving him the commandments that he's been given. Look at this. In verse 7 of chapter 32 of Exodus, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf." There's them cows again. "They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stick-necked people." You know, sometimes error comes on you gradually. It's a slippery slope. But here it says it came on quickly. Man, they went zero to idolatry in about 3.2 seconds. That's what this the children of Israel had done here. We read on, and we'll see where. The Lord was just ready to destroy them altogether, but Moses pleaded on their behalf. In verse 15, in verse 14, it says, "And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain. The two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, the very commandment of God. And the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp." Now, before Moses ever got there, before Joshua ever got down there, by the sound that they heard, they already knew something was wrong, didn't they? They already knew something was wrong. And he said, "It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither it is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear." And it came to pass, as soon as he came down to the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot. Can I tell y'all a little secret? As much as I want to be like my Lord and Savior, I'm still a man. Anybody that stands behind this pulpit, I'll tell you this right now. He has very well considered who his Savior was and how short he comes up. Lord, he's considered how much Jesus loved him. And I tell you what, he has considered how much he loves his Lord. I tell you, my Lord and Savior, when I think about all he's done for me and how he's blessed me despite when I was disobedient. When somebody tells a lie on my Lord, somebody tells me his arm is too short, when somebody tells me you can be saved in a state of grace one day and be lost to hell and hellfire one day, I tell you what, I get angry. It makes me mad. And it takes everything within me to stand behind this pulpit and not preach it angry. Oh, I don't want to preach it angry. But that's the nature of man. See, preacher still got that in him. Y'all pray for us. That the spirit within us that God has put there would outweigh the spirit of man that's in us. But we're still apt. We're still apt to fall on that old spirit every once in a while. We need to be prayerful for our ministers. And Moses, see. And it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot. And he cast the tables out of his hand and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, notice this here. Did he start yelling at all the people in the camp first? Aaron was supposed to be holding the fort down while Moses was on the mount, wasn't he? That's what Aaron was supposed to do. Aaron was supposed to be the mouthpiece for Moses. He had been put in a position of leadership. Did he hold up to that leadership? And Moses said unto Aaron, "What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them?" How accountable was Aaron? Moses didn't blast the people. He came down on Aaron first. Said, "Aaron, you know better. You're supposed to be in a leadership position. You're supposed to be leading these people." But what did Aaron say? And Aaron said, "Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people." He's doing the same thing Saul did, blaming the people. See, that is the nature of man, to shift the blame and shift the accountability. But I tell you what, the minister of God, this Bible tells me that, you know, the minister of God is worthy of double honor. But I tell you what, we double accountable to. Double accountable. This church has been blessed with men that held themselves doubly, triply, quadruply accountable. That's the kind of men I want leading God's church. And Aaron said, "Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief." Yeah, I know they are, Aaron. That's why I left you down here with them. You know, in those two accounts that I read to you this morning, you'll find two kinds of leaders. You'll find one that'll bend to the will of the masses and compromise. And you'll find one that stands strong on the commandments of God and will not compromise. What kind of leader? What kind of minister? Better yet, child of God, put that on yourself. What kind of child of God do you want to be? I tell you what, when the minister of God stands firm and does not compromise, it's good for the people. It's good for the church. It's good for his children. But let's put that on each other. How about it? Let's put it on each other. You know, the minister has been given a responsibility to lead and not compromise the word of God. As church members, how about we hold ourselves to the same standard? You know what, church members? When the minister holds himself to that standard, and when the church member holds him and herself to that standard, I tell you what, it makes this job back here a lot easier. I tell you what, it makes being in the church a lot easier. It keeps the peace of the church. But when we compromise out there, or we compromise back here, what happened to the children of Israel over there in Saul, what happened to the children of Israel over there at the mount, happened to me and you. We'll miss out on the blessings of dwelling with our Lord. Wouldn't it just be easier if we just did what God told us to do? I thank you for your good oral attention.